broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman, Kurt Cosby, live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This is indeed the broadcast for March the 8th in the year of our Lord, 2017. This is hour one of two. And our goal always is to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we believe in the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. We're convinced the checks and balances put in place by our founders. Brilliant, one of the great solutions to the problems we face. We got a road to hoe, ladies and gentlemen, but a good, honest, moral people turning to God, family, and country can get it done, folks. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're all doing fantastic. A quick recap of yesterday's broadcast is warranted and brought to you in part by thepowermall.com. Please do business with the good guys at 877-817-9829, thepowermall.com, and also brought to you in part by your scientifically backed free vigor test. Do you want to learn more about health and healing and solutions and have more energy in your life? Get hold of Kurt to learn more. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Kevin Brady, on the new government health care bill. This is Obamacare gone, not Obamacare light, he says, but Rand Paul opposes new Republican Obamacare and calls it Obamacare light. Introducing the American Health Care Act. You want to learn more? Readthebill.gop. Readthebill.gop. The good piece about it is it would block federal funding to Planned Parenthood. That's huge. That's a great win for pro-life advocates. The reality is half of Americans can't even afford to write a $500 check. You think they can handle health care? The bottom line, though, is that the Democrats, the Republicans are divided. Now the Republican Party is divided. Big time. We'll get into that as the broadcast unfolds, but we drilled into the details of the latest Obamacare, well, they call it a repeal, but it's really not a repeal at all, attempts. That was our one yesterday. Hour two, we had our guest on, Mr. Patrick Simmons, National Right to Work, Legal Defense Foundation, righttowork.org. We talked about Washington's Jason Pye at FreedomWorks. He's the director of public policy. And he's basically speaking out big time. This is Obamacare Lite. It creates a new entitlement through the refundable tax credits. It allows insurers to assess a 30% penalty on those who don't keep continuous coverage for 63 days, which turns out to be an individual mandate by another name. Then he finishes by saying we're 100% behind the efforts of Rand Paul, Mike Lee, Ted Cruz in the House Freedom Caucus, who have an incredible opportunity and an alternative to truly replace Obamacare. We have endorsed Rand Paul and Mark Sanford's Obamacare Replacement Act. Anyway, we talked about that. We talked about Senate Bill 81 in Utah, hopefully to be signed by the governor, will prevent cities from requiring fees of home-based businesses in the state of Utah. That's great news. We talked about a woman, 64 years old, gives birth to twins, becoming one of the world's oldest new mothers. That's a celebratory thing. We talked about climate specialists and other scientists petition President Trump to dump the Paris Treaty, libertynewsdaily.com. We talked about Sam creating a new term. It's the NAACP. You say, Sam, that's not a new term. Oh, yeah? Well, it's the National Association for the Advancement of Caucasian People. Is that a new term? All right, just wondering. Idaho boy says angels helped him save his dad after a car fell on his dad. Phenomenal news. That's a recap of the broadcast that took place yesterday that is available on demand, free, libertyroundtable.com, and on your Roku player. Look for the Liberty News Radio channel. For live and on-demand radio around the clock, libertynewsradio.com. For incredible news on the web, libertynewsdaily.com. Check them all out today. All right, Kurt Cosby's with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
The battle grows, Kurt, big time on this healthcare divide. Not only between the Democrats and the Republicans, that's been a divide for a long time. But the latest divide is Republicans, and I would basically say insiders against outsiders. Or those who want to stick with the status quo and really act like they're against Obamacare. But when it comes time to do something, they know that change will really happen. So now they back Obamacare and protect Obamacare. And the bottom line is we're finding out who's who in the Republican Party. And it really brings up your wise question that you've said for a long time now. Who is a Republican? What is a Republican? Who is the Republican Party? And I basically said, well, it's the majority of whichever, you know, way they go on things. But your point is, and it's well stated, it's up for grabs if enough of us get involved. You're spot on that, and this just highlights that reality. Listen carefully to this.
President Trump is voicing optimism for the House GOP healthcare overhaul despite some stiff opposition from within the GOP. White House correspondent Greg Clugston has more.
The president said he's proud to endorse the plan to replace Obamacare, and he's predicting great success.
I really believe we're going to have tremendous support. I'm already seeing the support, not only in this room, I'm seeing it from everybody.
But not everybody is on board. House and Senate conservatives, plus influential outside groups, want a complete repeal of President Obama's health care law. They complain this White House-backed plan doesn't go far enough. Ray Clugston, the White House.
Two House committees plan today to take up the GOP plan to replace the Affordable Care Act.
You want to respond to that, Kurt? You got Donald Trump and the insiders all for this plan. You got Rand Paul and Justin Amash and many people we trust, Mike Lee and others, saying, you know what? No, this is not a replacement. Freedom Works saying this is bogus. It's not an appropriate replacement or a repeal at all. It leaves too many core Obamacare provisions in place. It's disaster. Rand Paul clearly saying, you know what? Obamacare is spiraling down the drain. And if we don't get rid of it entirely, we tend to end up with the spiral down the drain and the Republicans getting the blame. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, you've already, you know, pretty much covered the whole thing with the idea of, what is a Republican and which one? I mean, is Rand Paul the Republican or is Paul Ryan the Republican? Is Mitch McConnell, you know, is Donald Trump? I mean, who's the real Republican? And that's the real question. You know, what we're for is, you know, basically constitutional government. And you don't see, I don't believe, any place in the Constitution where you have government providing health care or sick care or whatever else you want to call it, forcing people to participate in those things. But, you know, we've come a long way from the original signers, haven't we?
Yes. Ted Cruz just emailed me. Of course, it's a form email. Don't get too excited. And, of course, they're begging for money. But, Kurt, in their defense this time, I'm agreeing with what Ted Cruz is emailing me about. Ted Cruz headline, full repeal in jeopardy. I think it is in jeopardy. Here's the problem, Kurt. What if Donald Trump, well, we shouldn't say what if, he already is, backing this plan by the insiders. He's excited about it. He says everybody's in support of it. Ted Cruz, Rand Paul, others saying, not so fast. This may be in jeopardy. We can't go for this. There's a bunch of groups that are conservative standing against this as well. There's a big fight on their hands. Do you think Donald jumping to the side of the insiders, Kurt, will let us lose this time?
You know, I predict that what's going to happen here is, you know, a long, I guess you could say, you know, the standard kind of battle. And I hope that, you know, the right kind of thing comes out of it. And that is, hey, that we get, you know, at least some improvement. I mean, my real hope would be, hey, that we just completely eliminate it. And, you know, on all that stuff, and they actually say, look, we got to do this. We got to eliminate Obamacare, Medicare, Medicaid, all this kind of stuff. But here's, you know, we understand that, you know, there's going to be some tough times, but here's how we do it. I just don't see that happening. I see, you know, a few good parts about, you know, things like the health savings accounts. Maybe that'll come forward, you know, that kind of thing. But, you know, Trump's worried about keeping his promises, and that's good. And, you know, maybe the rest of Congress will, you know, learn more about that.
Cool. And they say the law, or the repeal, the complete repeal may be in jeopardy, and not just because of Democrats. Liberty Roundtable Live.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello everyone, James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
You want to fight for solutions for America? GiveMeLibertyFund.com is our sponsor this half hour. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Check it out and get involved today, would you please? All right, Ted Cruz, Obamacare, full repeal in jeopardy, and not just because of Democrats. Cruz, Lee, Paul demand complete repeal of Obamacare, The Hill. Now, this is interesting. Donald Trump says everybody's on board with this thing. It's phenomenal. Donald Trump says it's phenomenal, but when you have three key senators, Ted Cruz, Rand Paul, two of them ran for the presidency, and then Mike Lee, 3% of the Senate standing up in a group saying, no way. Very interesting indeed. The problem is, you know what? When Donald backs it, it'll probably pass. Here's where we find out who Donald really is. Chris, Utah, you're on the radio.
Hi, guys. Hey, thanks for letting me get on here. I've got a radical notion for you guys.
Go.
I know this will label me as a radical. Let's replace Obamacare with something I refer to as freedom and liberty to make our own choices. I've got a wonderful health care plan, guys. I pay cash every time I go to the doctor. Not only do I save money, but I'm very conscious of how I spend my money at the doctor's office. So I, you know, and I know that won't work for everybody. But
yeah, I've proposed that plan. I have 8 children. I've been married for 25 years, and I've done just that. And I've settled for anywhere from 30 to 60% of discounts every time I do it. There's a lot of options out there that can be done in the free market for sure. Did you hear our broadcast yesterday where I provided a variety of solutions for this?
Well, I'm sure they were brilliant, Sam, as usual. And I apologize. I missed your program yesterday.
Well, we'll forgive you. But the reason that I bring it up is, you know what? They need to replace it with nothing. They need to have a complete repeal. And what we need to really focus on is the free market, as you wisely say. And what we need to do is let insurance companies sell their products across state lines. What we need to do is
quit bailing them out.
Barack Obama could, I'm sorry, Donald Trump could instantly create an exception for everyone. Right now, I don't know if you know, but there's a lot of Christian health share services that are doing a great job in the free market. And anybody who has a Christian share plan has an Obama exemption because of a grandfather in plan. Donald could just simply, with a stroke of a pen and executive order, say, number one, I'm going to give everybody in the country an exemption. This is a disaster. And meanwhile, Congress, I demand you guys repeal Obamacare. Then the second thing Barack could do is he could say, or I'm sorry, Donald could do is he could say, Barack created confusion in America. And so I call a halt to Obamacare while the confusion is resolved. Congress is calling it a tax. I'm sorry, Congress is saying that it's not a tax. Congress saying no tax. The former president said that it was not a tax, but yet the courts called it a tax. So due to the confusion, either the courts are confused or the Congress is confused or the former president was confused. Nevertheless, due to this unprecedented confusion, I demand a halt to Obamacare until Congress clearly, you know, lays out what they want, what they're going to do. I push for a complete repeal. Donald could do those two things instantly and shut down Obamacare now with a single stroke of a pen. I would justify it. I'm not normally for executive orders, but in this case, look, they can intercede into a baseball strike or they can intercede into this and that. Clearly, they can stop government from spending my money.
Well, if you're waiting for Donald Trump to be our political savior, you're going to be waiting a long time.
Because, you're right about that.
He's certainly part of the problem. He could do a lot of things with a stroke of a pen or with just his moral authority that you and I can express pre-existing constitutional facts and precedences that would abolish half the government today. But he's not going to. He doesn't have the courage. And I apologize that that is not the case. I have yet for Mr. Trump or Rand Paul or anybody to show me in the Constitution where it gives Congress the ability to intervene in health care, even to the least degree.
And Rand Paul would agree with you. Rand Paul would agree with you. What he's saying is, you know what, we've got a climate of hostility, and you got to do something to move the needle towards freedom. And so I think Rand Paul's actually trying. Again, I would rather see it replaced with nothing, but if we're going to be forced with something, I would support Rand's plan a whole lot more than the current plan they've got on the table. Anything else, Chris?
Well, we just need to keep it simple. The 10th Amendment doesn't allow Congress to do 90% of what they do. And I know that they know it, and if we would question them about it, they would admit it. But they need to be a lot more vocal about it and stand much more firm for that reality than they are today, because not enough people are standing up for the 10th Amendment.
I couldn't agree more.
About 95% of all of our problems with the government. Hey, thanks for
Chris.
Letting me get on. Hey,
you
thanks,
betcha,
Kurt.
Sir. I couldn't agree more. Kurt, you want to respond?
You know, Chris is a great example of, you know, Americans who, do the solutions themselves. They don't wait for the government to tell them how to do it. They just go to work and make a difference. You know, on the whole healthcare thing where he actually, you know, he's proactive. I know that. I know he, you know, uses quite a bit of good honey. I know he's careful, he works hard, you know, and all those kind of things. And then he, like he says, he pays his own way instead of having the government health care do it. You know, he also participates in private schooling and all that kind of stuff. I mean, you know, they're another great example for Americans to follow. You know, good work, Chris.
All right, there you go. Anyway, all I can tell you is I agree with Chris, but I agree with a lot of the points you make too, Kurt, that sometimes when you're in such a hostile or anti-constitutional environment, you know, oftentimes we want the whole panacea or we want it all at once. Hey, just shut down the IRS. Hey, just get rid of government schools. Hey, just shut down healthcare. And that's a great idea, and I support it completely. But oftentimes we've got to be a little bit wiser about how to get there. And is Rand Paul's plan that, or is it just another plea for socialism? I believe Rand Paul's plan is genuine. I don't think it's as good as Ron's plan. I think my plan's better. But I will say that at least it's a plan, and at least it doesn't promote more socialism. Yes, it keeps government involved in healthcare. But you know what? How do you wind ourselves out of this thing? You know, what do you think, Kurt? How do you...
Well, you know, in my opinion, it's very similar to the way Ezra Taft Benson recommended we... eliminate the unconstitutional programs back in the 60s. Now, I know you're going to have a bigger load to go now, but, you know, he basically said, look, the president could basically preside over the restoration of the constitutional government by simply saying that each of the programs that were unconstitutional, as they expired, you'd make sure you didn't renew them. The ones that didn't expire, you'd gradually trim them down, and he figured it would be able to be done over about a 10-year period.
I think we're more entrenched in socialism than we were by a long shot when he said that, so it may even take a little longer. It's very complex. But the point is it can be done. The point is you don't have to crash the plane. The point is there are answers, there are solutions, and we point at them regularly. And whether you use my plan or Rand Paul's plan or Ron Paul's plan or a bunch of other plans out there, what we need to do is make sure that we don't continue socialism, that we don't continue down the road of stealing from one citizen to pay for another citizen's whatever, healthcare, education, the list goes on and on and on. So anyway, there you have it. We've got a guest coming up right after the half-hour break that's going to break this down a little further for us and give us kind of a skinny from Washington. But Ted Cruz says, you know what? The repeal may be in jeopardy. I think that's a wise statement, Kurt, and whether you like Ted or not. You know what? I don't really have favorites. When they're right, I agree with them. When they're wrong, I disagree with them. And in this case, we may not end up with a full repeal. The Republicans talked big, but now that it really has a chance to maybe happen, they're not talking big. And what they've really done in my mind is the leaders have gone out, floated this plan. They've got Donald on board. The circumventing is happening before our very eyes, as far as I can see, Kurt. I'm very concerned about it. Quick pause. Sam, Kurt, on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, always at your fingertips. LibertyRoundTable.com, LibertyNewsRadio.com, LibertyNewsDaily.com. We're getting more websites in the Ring of Liberty every day, huh? All right, back in a flash.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg. The WikiLeaks Transparency Organization, with the help of a disgruntled former government-employed contract hacker, has released what it calls Vault 7, a compendium of documents describing the agency's cyber hacking capabilities. Among the weapons and tactics described in the newly released documents is the use of a computer hack to commandeer vehicles by remote control. That disclosure has fueled renewed speculation that the traffic accident in which investigative journalist Michael Hastings was killed may have been a car cyber attack, as former counterterrorism czar Richard Clark suggested at the time. As of October 2014, the CIA was also looking at infecting the vehicle control systems used by modern cars and trucks, summarizes a WikiLeaks press release. The purpose of such control is not specified, but it would permit the CIA to engage in nearly undetectable assassinations. The new release encompasses 8,761 documents, to which WikiLeaks leader Julian Assange has given the title Year Zero. The archive appears to have been circulated among former U.S. government hackers and contractors in an unauthorized manner, one of whom provided WikiLeaks with portions of the archive, the group reports. This includes samples of the CIA's malware arsenal and dozens of zero-day weaponized exploits against a wide range of U.S. and European company products, including Apple's iPhone, Google's Android, and Microsoft's Windows, and even Samsung TVs, which are turned into covert microphones. For commentary and insights on a troubled world, visit Joel Skousen's worldaffairsbrief.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today. Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman, hard-hitting talk radio, always at your fingertips. Wow, do we got a row to hoe when it comes to getting rid of the latest Obamacare. Even Trump's backing it. We got to be very careful, folks. Cruz, Lee, Paul, we support all of those three members of the Senate. Demand full repeal of Obamacare, and boy, do we agree with that statement, to say the least. Our guest now, Jason Pye. He's FreedomWorks Director of Public Policy and Legislative Affairs, and he's concerned as well. Hi, Jason.
Hey, how you doing?
Marvelous, my friend. Okay, so the bottom line is, what's going on here? They're saying it's Obamacare 2.0, or some of them are now calling it Ryan Care. Pretty soon it might be labeled Trump Care. Rand Paul said, in my mind, the most poignant statement. I wanted to get your take on this. He said, look, if we don't repeal this thing completely, Obamacare is spiraling down. And what'll happen if we just change a couple of the tenets to make us feel good but don't really get rid of it entirely, as the spiral down happens, they'll label us with it and we'll go down with Obamacare or Ryan Care. Do you agree with Rand Paul?
Yeah, I think he has an excellent point. I think that I think we are with this bill. It's the American Health Care Act. I think we're nibbling around the edges with Obamacare. There are pieces of Obamacare that do remain in this bill. They're calling it full repeal, but really what they're doing, or they're calling it repeal, but what they're doing is redressing it in a Republican version of the 2010 health insurance reform law. The central focus, the main reason we have a problem with it, and there are several aspects of the bill we don't like, but there are several aspects we do like. But the main focal point of our frustration right now is this advanceable refundable tax credit. Obamacare also gave advanceable refundable tax credit. It was based anybody who made between 138% of the federal poverty level and 400% of the federal poverty level could receive an advanceable refundable tax credit. That tax credit was meant to help pay for insurance coverage, and it was sent directly to the insurers on a monthly basis. This bill has the same advanceable refundable tax credit. Section 15 of the Ways and Means Committee recommendations, which are available on ways and means.house.gov. They are based on age, so then they're between $2,000 and $4,000. They're capped at a family rate of $14,000, so no family can receive more than $14,000 in tax credits, but they're advanceable. You get them on a monthly basis, and they're payable directly to health insurers. It's like the health insurance lobby wrote the bill. So that's the and basically what we're doing here. What we're saying is House Republicans have proposed repealing one entitlement to replace it with a Republican version of the entitlement.
All right, I agree with that. Now let me point out a couple of quick things that this I don't know what you want to call it, Ryan Care, Trump Care, whatever you want to call it, the Affordable Care, whatever. The truth is that this new supposed replacement keeps Obamacare's most expansive coverage mandates, right?
So there are some things that the regulations that were promulgated under the under Obamacare by the Department of Health and Human Services and the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services do remain in place. And the reason they remain in place is because the Senate Republicans argue that they can't go after them because of procedural hurdles in the chamber. There's something we know as the Byrd Rule. Under reconciliation, anything that's not germane to the question at hand, to the bill at hand, or to the subject, has to be stripped out. So Senate Republicans argue that the regulations, if you went after the regulations, they could raise a point of order, a procedural motion, and actually strip those out. So that's one aspect of it. Now, the bill does deal with something related to what we call the metal tiers of Obamacare, the bronze, silver, gold, and platinum health insurance plans that are available on the exchanges. It does address those, and it lowers those what we call actuarial values down, but with that said, there's questions whether that would survive a challenge under the Byrd Rule as well. So, I mean, basically, to answer your question, yes and no. And we are not going to know until this bill goes through the Senate whether the actuarial changes will remain in the bill and the regulations aren't touched.
Well, but right now it looks like that. It also looks like the most costly Medicaid expansion continues as well.
So the Medicaid expansion is one of the interesting aspects of this bill because what we had been lobbying for, we've been telling people, suggesting that the House Republicans do or leadership do, we understand there was going to be a transition period for people on Medicaid who got Medicaid under expansion. So the original bill basically got rid of expansion within 2 years. What they're proposing now is to continue expansion through December of 2019, so almost 3 years.
In other words, long enough for half of the folks in the House to be gone.
Yeah, that's correct. And we'll get to the electoral implications in a moment. But allowing those people to stay, they're not freezing enrollment in Medicaid expansion. So if you even after Obamacare is quote unquote repealed, people can still go on Medicaid under expansion and get it, and have access to that enhanced funding through December of 2019. And on January 1st of 2020, that expansion, states can still sign up people under the expansion rates, but they don't receive the expansion money. The state has to cover it. Now, here's what's going on. We know in Congress, they routinely pass something we call the Doc Fix. There are these sustainable growth rates in Medicare that are supposed to cut the rate of Medicare spending. Congress routinely votes to halt the sustainable growth rate and stave off those Medicare cuts. This happens again routinely every year.
It's almost like the debt ceiling, sir.
Yeah, no, exactly. No, that's exactly right. So what we're worried, this creates a situation where we're going to have another Doc Fix situation that these cuts are supposed to take place in an election year in the heat of a presidential election year, because that's what we're going to be going into in 2020. There'll be pressure on Congress and pressure on the White House to delay those cuts. So we're worried that they will continue the entitlement going forward.
And so that entitlement program is key, and that's really one of the biggest reasons that we stand against it, is it really keeps an entitlement program. It basically just changes, instead of it being an income-based reality, it's an age-based reality. It's kind of like we don't want it Democrat way, we want it Republican way, but it's still the same thing, right?
Well, let me one more thing I should add on Medicaid is that states can still opt to expand Medicaid within the transition period. That's just I can't believe they're doing that. States that didn't opt into there are 12 states that didn't opt into Medicaid,
which it almost sounds like they want it to grow so that eventually they have a bigger behemoth that they can't completely repeal, right? It almost seems like they're sowing the seeds intentionally.
You know, that's what it does see. That's the way it does come across. And with the tax credits, going back to the tax credits, so they one of the original problems with – there was draft language of the bill. It was dated on February 10th. It was leaked. Politico picked it up. I studied it. And the tax credits were age-rated, meaning anyone could get them regardless of income. Now, they did place in this bill an income cap on the tax credits, but here's the catch with that. You can make I'm 36 years old, so if I was buying health insurance coverage on the individual market, I could receive a tax credit of $2,500 annually. Here's the thing, though. In order for me not to receive any money from the federal government to help pay for insurance, I'd have to make $95,000. We're talking far beyond the federal poverty level. This is, you know, 800% more than the federal poverty level.
The real rub, though, here, Jason, is I don't care what plan we're talking about. Government has no authority to mandate that I purchase something. They've crossed the line. This is the first real time that they've clearly crossed that line, right?
Well, I mean, the individual mandate in Obamacare, yes. I mean, that was one of the big problems we had with it. And then, unfortunately, in this bill, there's not the individual mandate like Obamacare has, but it has a backdoor individual mandate. It's designed to coerce you into buying health insurance coverage. In Section 133 of the Energy and Commerce Recommendations, they have something that what they're calling is continuous coverage incentive. What they want to do, basically, if you're an individual and you fail to keep continuous coverage for more than 63 days, a health insurance company could charge you an additional 30% on top of your premiums for 12 months. It's to coerce you into...
And that's kind of what I'm saying, is that they're holding onto that line. They don't want to really repeal that, because then we can always come back and say, look, government has no authority to mandate that we purchase anything. They're trying to hold onto that mandate. Now, here's the concern that I have the most. Donald Trump is in open support of this whole plan.
Well, I mean, he did tweet out yesterday, and this is something that we see as a bright spot of the day yesterday, despite what was a very bad bill. Or since Monday, it hasn't been a lot of fun going through this bill and realizing the sellout that we're about to have from House Republican leadership. But the president did say, you know, he said the bill was out for review and negotiation. So we're going to take him at his word. He says he's a deal maker, so we want to make a deal with him. We want to sit down and talk to him or talk to his staff and explain our concerns with the bill and explain how we can get to yes. Because I think we can get to yes as long as there are some changes made. And those changes are some of those things we've highlighted this morning.
Jason Pye with us, ladies and gentlemen. FreedomWorks.org. Check it out today. Back in a flash. We'll break it down for you in seconds on your radio.
This is Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and I want to introduce you to Numana Storable Foods. This is the first brand of storable foods that I am willing to put my name behind. It's food you can trust. No GMOs, no MSG, no chemical preservatives, and no fake meat. Plus, Numana doesn't just make that claim. They back it up with independent evaluation and testing. Another thing that Numana really does that excites me is the delicious vegetarian options. If your standards are as high as mine, I can confidently tell you that Numana Storable Foods are the quality choice that you've been waiting for. Numana won't just meet your expectations, they will exceed them. And that's why we're thrilled to have the good guys from Numana joining the Power Hour family. Go to powerprepper.com and learn about Numana Storable Foods. You can also call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Numana, the storable food you'll love to eat.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is Mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
I smoke because it's a habit. It's very hard to quit. I've tried.
My wife smokes. It's not allowed in the home. It's not allowed around my children. I just know it isn't good.
My husband hates that I smoke, and I smoke outside.
It irritates her a little bit, but I think she sees and understands what I'm trying to get across to her, that it's not only bad to her, but it's bad to my three beautiful daughters and my two sons.
My dad gets upset with my mom because she smokes and he doesn't, and whenever my mom goes and smokes, she has to go smoke outside.
I don't think my mom should smoke because it's really bad for you, and it could hurt you really bad.
I do think there is a correlation between parents and kids. The parent smokes, the kids think it's okay for them to smoke.
Sometimes, all you need is a small reason to quit.
Yeah, I love my mom very much, but I still wish she'd stop smoking.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Jason Pye, riding shotgun, ladies and gentlemen. He's with Freedom Works. He's the director of public policy and legislative affairs. We're talking about this Obamacare 2.0. It fails to repeal Obamacare. It creates all kinds of concerns for us. One of the greatest concerns is Donald Trump seems to like it and is backing it. However, we need to kind of think about the art of the deal. Is Donald really for it as much as it sounds? Or is he just saying, look, I'm open to discussing it. I'm not going to just go hardcore against it and shut it down. Let's get in the room and let's have a deal. Let's talk. Let's sit down. Let's work on it. And one of the great things this bill does is shuts down funding for Planned Parenthood, Jason. And Donald Trump has been very pro-life. He made a move to get rid of the Mexico, the Mexico Accord or whatever.
The Mexico City policy.
Yeah, Mexico City policy. Thank you. Where he really shuts down funding abortions around the world. Now we're back into shutting down taxpayers funding Planned Parenthood. That's a positive piece that I think we can all agree on, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, and there are positive pieces across the in various parts of this bill. I mean, not only do you have pro-life protections, but you have the expansion of health savings accounts. Though we think those expansions could go further, there are the block grants.
And to make your point, Rand Paul's is virtually unlimited, right?
Yeah, that's correct. Rand Paul's is unlimited, and Rand Paul's expansion is so vast and comprehensive that you can pay your health insurance premiums out of your HSA, which is a reform we really do like, which is why we support Rand's bill. But I mean, in the House version, unfortunately, falls short of that. But I don't want to knock it, because the reforms in there are still very good. It almost doubles the maximum amount you could contribute to an HSA on an annual basis. We like that. It could be tweaked to go a little further, but we like where it starts out.
The bottom line is we love a lot of good things in it. We think to some degree it's better than what we've got, but we don't want to be accused of Obamacare light. We don't want to be accused of Obamacare 2.0. We don't want, if it spirals down further, as it surely will, when you force insurance companies to cover pre-existing conditions, you ratchet the cost up, and then you've got to create some kind of force to keep the younger or the healthier generation or people on board to kind of equal out those costs. That's where the real rub is, right?
Yeah, no, I think that's correct. And I think in one thing in the bill that you're talking about, the pre-existing conditions piece, one thing in the bill that we have concerns with, but we've endorsed the underlying idea, was federal funding to start state-based high-risk pools. This is one way to balance the pre-existing conditions piece without requiring insurance companies to cover them. You give initial grant funding to states so they can cover patients who are high-risk, who have pre-existing conditions, those who are otherwise uninsurable, and to help with their out-of-pocket costs. So that's a reform we actually like. But we look at the proposals that have been introduced. The Republican Study Committee proposal that was introduced this year offers $25 billion for those over 10 years, so $2.5 billion a year, for state-based high-risk pools. Paul Ryan's A Better Way proposal, though not legislative text, also offered $25 billion over 10 years. The bill that was introduced in the House this week says $100 billion over 10 years. And we think that's extraordinarily high for something that started out so low. So we're raising a red flag about that, too, because this spending is what we call mandatory spending.
Well, and I'm a pure constitutionalist, Jason. I would come back and say, you show me the authority for even $25 billion, and we'll talk about it. Until then, take it off the table. That's what I would say.
Yeah, no, and I understand that. I think I understand that argument, and I don't necessarily disagree with it. I think you're looking here at a political argument, not necessarily anything else. It's a political
argument. And that's
argument.
Kind of what we need to understand. We want a complete repeal. We certainly want to push for that. I know that Rand Paul, Mike Lee, Ted Cruz are demanding that, and I say good on them, and I support that 1,000%. But you know what? We didn't destroy America one day at a time, or all in one day. We did it one day at a time, piecemeal. Sometimes we're going to have to march back piecemeal too, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. You're right. And I think I actually attended the press conference yesterday that Senator Lee and Senator Paul and members of the House Freedom Caucus held. And, you know, I think what their point of view is, look, we said this yesterday in a press release right after that press conference. Look, we agree. Everybody seems to agree on Obamacare repeal. So let's bring out that bill we had in the last Congress that repealed Obamacare that only four or five Republicans in both the House and the Senate voted against. We agree on that.
By the way, they might vote for now.
Well, I mean,
by the way.
Well, I mean, now the vote matters, right?
So, yeah, but they might vote for it now, too, though, seeing the tide, seeing what's happening, seeing the changes, seeing the opportunities. They might have voted politically against it and just wanting to be careful when the other side was in charge. They may go for it now. We have a greater chance now than we did then is the point.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think theoretically we should, but there are already four Senate Republicans, including Cory Gardner and Lisa Murkowski, and Rob Portman, and I forget who the other one is, who are saying that they want to keep Medicaid expansion, that they'll vote against any bill that gets rid of Medicaid.
Yeah, and I say let them do it, put them on record. Nevertheless, though, I think we have a greater chance than we had before.
The funny thing is they've already cast that vote. They cast that vote in the last Congress. They all four voted for it.
And that's why I say put them on record to show their conflicts, to show where they really stand. Put them on record.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
It's necessary. Now, are there any other senators that are willing to join Mike Lee, Rand Paul, and Ted Cruz on this and stand strong? That's three senators that are saying we demand nothing short of repeal.
Well, I think we're going to find out very soon. I think that there are concerns that are being mentioned in both chambers of Congress, who are the members of Congress who are saying that this bill we need to repeal Obamacare, yes, but we're not so sure that this bill is the right way to go. And I think people are looking at the refundable tax credits as the main reason for that. I think there are other aspects of the bill that people don't like. And I do think that there will be a few more who come out and join them. But at the end of the day, you only need three Republican senators to come out against this bill to kill it in the Senate. And right now you have that. You have Senator Cruz, Paul, and Lee who are all saying, look, we want to repeal Obamacare. Senator Cruz stood on in the Senate for 20 hours a few years ago,
yes, sir,
and talk about the problems with the Affordable Care Act.
And last point to make about this, Rand Paul's plan does have tax credits, but it's done differently to where it's not socialism or where it doesn't create some kind of a subsidy, right?
Actually, Rand Paul's bill does tax deductibility. It's so there basically every year it gives individuals the same tax treatment that employers get. So employers can deduct the cost of their health insurance coverage from their income. And under Senator Paul's bill, the Obamacare Replacement Act, you as an individual have that same tax treatment.
Bring that on. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Jason Pye has got to fly. He's got other shows to do. I sure appreciate you, my friend. Will you come back soon?
Absolutely.
Thank you, Jason. We appreciate it. There he goes, ladies and gentlemen. Freedom works. I don't mean to cut him off. I know he's got to go to another engagement. And if I don't help him get there, then he'll be late for those folks. And we don't want that. So we appreciate him hopping across the internet and across the world and on AM and FM radio stations all over the country, standing up for liberty, doing his best to lay out what's fair, what's not. We don't just hate things, folks. We don't just lobby and stand against and protest. What we do is we look for a productive way forward and a solutions-oriented way to say, look, here's what we don't like and here's why. Here's what we like and here's why. How can we move forward with solutions? Kurt, you want to add to the interview?
Yeah. That's exactly what we try to do. Number one, we want to bring solutions, some type of improvement to the situation. And it sounds like almost all the suggestions or improvements. Of course, we want to bring the largest amount of improvement possible, and You know, the way you understand the Rand Paul program is like with the health savings accounts, then you could put in your money into an account. You could use it to pay for whatever you choose. Is that the way it works?
You could pay your premiums with it because there's not a limit on how much you can put. The problem is with these healthcare savings accounts right now, there's a limit on how much you can put in, and if you don't you know, spend it, you lose it, and other kind of things. The way Rand Paul would do is he'd simply say, look, you can put any money you want in this thing. You can pay your premiums. It would carry over. You can put whatever you want in it. And I don't really like the idea of me being pushed to put my money into something like this. However, the opportunity's there already. That's the point. That's what's so brilliant about Rand's plan, Kurt, is even though it doesn't go as far as I would like, the fact is I think it's palatable for everybody. The savings accounts already exist. Why not just increase their usability and the flexibility for choice, for agency, to do what you want with them? And so even though I'd love to get rid of all that stuff, it already exists is the point. And let's take steps in the right direction. Let's make them unlimited. Let's let you use them for whatever purpose you want to relating to healthcare. It's not perfect, but it's an incredible start. That's for sure. And so Rand does understand the balance of we want to get as much of the enchilada as we can, but we also got to eat it a bite at a time. And he gets that balance very well, Kurt. And it's impressive. It really is. And it's so far the most logical plan that's being backed on Capitol Hill. It's on the table for discussion. Whereas Sam Bushman's plan might be a little bit more pure, a little bit more constitutional. But my plan's not even on the table for discussion, Kurt. No matter how awesome it is, it's not there. And so we need to be realistic and practical about how we go forward here, too. Or we get marginalized and don't even have the ability. We just rant in the wind. And don't have any ability to get our ideas heard or our viewpoints advocated for. We need to really think about that. And I'm telling you, Rand Paul's plan is the best thing going. Like I said, I like Ron's plan better, but Ron's plan is not even on the table. Rand's is. And there's a lot of people, including FreedomWorks, backing it and endorsing it.
Well, that sounds great, Sam. I'm hoping that that's what gets done. I'd be surprised, but hey, we could sure search or shoot for the moon, you know.
Yeah, Kurt Cosby's loading the rowboat up with tartar sauce. Here we go. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for hour one
after
in the can.
Moby Dick.
Hour two coming up. Hard-hitting talk radio, always at your fingertips. We try to, you know, a lot of radio talk shows are just too hardcore, where they become irrelevant. We walk an incredible fine line of constitutionality, ladies and gentlemen. We stand for the supreme law. We stand for the checks and balances. We reject revolution and stand for restoration of the greatest, freest country on the earth. And we can absolutely do it peacefully. LibertyRoundtable.com, LibertyNewsRadio.com, and LibertyNewsDaily.com. We the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we declare this nation shall endure.